athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Don't click the click, hit boy, but I ain't like you kids. They know what time it is. Peel off Lambo tire skid.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. Devontae Adams, now a New York Jet. Does this make the New York Jets a better team? On the other side of things, and it's interesting because Monday Night Football saw the Bills beat the Jets in spite of the coaching change, in spite of the new play caller, but the Bills now able to acquire wide receiver Amari Cooper from the Browns. Does this make the Bills a better football team? It's interesting because to me, it's more the better wide receiver here is Devontae Adams. Both are good, right? But Devontae Adams is better. But to me, the better of the deals was made, not the better of the deals, but it makes the Bills to me a better football team because the Bills are already a good football team. You add now another weapon to Josh Allen, right? Because look, Aaron Rodgers already has weapons. The offense still struggled anyway, even with all the newness, if you will. I mean, Devontae Adams may add a bit more, but I think there are, you know, deeper issues within the Jets organization than adding a Devontae Adams. It doesn't put the Jets over the top. It doesn't even make the Jets better than the Bills, and they're in the same division. So, time willing, we'll talk some National Football League on the program. You know what's interesting? I'm unable to watch a lot of college football on any given Saturday with my obligations in terms of calling the games for North Carolina A&T. So don't have a whole lot of time to watch a lot of college football. But interestingly enough, I did some other things on Saturday too, because as teams need a bit of a break, you know, us that are, you know, sort of behind the scenes need a bit of a break too. So it allowed me to do kind of some other things. But, you know, I was able to watch a couple of football games on Saturday. I didn't watch all of it, but I mean, because the time I got in and really got settled down with the Texas and Oklahoma game, it was all, a matter of fact, I watched the like with about 2 minutes remaining in the first half. And I think the score was at 21-3. I think it was at that time. The score ended up being 34-3 with Texas winning that football game. And now we've got a really good matchup on Saturday between Texas and Georgia. I was able to watch the end of the Oregon and Ohio State game. It's a good win, a really good win by Oregon. You know, Penn State's overtime. When I saw that game, I watched that game, especially at the end. I thought USC down the stretch had really should have won that football. That should have been a win by the Trojans that the Trojans enabled for Penn State to win that football game. I got to watch a couple of the football games, and it was good. It was good to be able to sit back and see what's going on with some of the other teams or some of the teams in particular in major college football. I'm more of an NFL guy, love to watch the games on Sunday, as a matter of fact, but definitely want to keep up with what is going on in the FBS ranks. Of course, we always keep up with what's going on in the HBCU ranks here on Box to Row Week 8 of the HBCU football schedule. is right upon us. And look, unlike last week, when I looked at the schedule last week, there weren't a whole lot of games that really stuck out to me. Like games I would say, okay, yeah, this, you know, it's in the swag, but this week is definitely different, no doubt about it, because you're looking at a couple of games. Like you're looking at that Florida A&M and Jackson State game, right? First place for the Eastern Division is on the line in this game. Game going to be played in Jackson, Mississippi. Should have a really, really good crowd. I mean, look, generally speaking, there's a good crowd. Jackson State supports, unlike any other program, maybe with the exception of Southern. Big shots out to Southern and our affiliate there in Baton Rouge. But look, I mean, it should be a good game. Jackson State, you know, is already going to support. Florida A&M is going to bring a crowd, I think, as well. I mean, this is an old, you know, maybe an old SIAC rivalry going back some years. When you're talking about all-time programs, two of the better all-time programs are Florida A&M and Jackson State. So I think you're going to have a number of Florida A&M people that are going to be there, fans, alums, et cetera, that are going to be there as well. I wonder how well Florida A&M will play. It's been sort of a jaded schedule. We talked with a little bit with Coach Colsey, the head coach at Florida A&M, about that last week on the program, and he mentioned that last week was a scheduled bye week anyway. You go back a couple of weeks ago when the hurricane pushed Florida A&M's game against Alabama A&M back to now November the 29th. But I still wonder, with now in essence three byes, how that will affect Florida A&M coming out. Meanwhile, you've got a Jackson State team that's playing extremely well. And then the other game in the SWAC, Alcorn State is at Southern. You're talking about a hot Alcorn State team right now that's won three straight ball games. And you're talking about a Southern team coming off a nice win against Texas Southern. As a matter of fact, Alcorn State had a come from behind win over Grambling on last week. And that was a Grambling team that had beaten Jackson State going back a couple of weeks ago. So we've got some interesting matchups as it relates to the SWAC. In the CIAA, I think there's one matchup that's going to be pretty good. Winston-Salem State at Livingston. Not only does, and it, look, that was a good, you know, Livingston had a good win. It's a good win, you know, last week. Winston-Salem State had a good win against Shaw on last week. And so now to me, when I look at Winston-Salem State and I look at Livingston, who are both, as a matter of fact, 3-1 in the CIAA, sitting right behind Johnson C. Smith, I wonder if, because again, you know, this is how good both of these teams really are. And I think we're going to see how good both of these teams really, really are, because the winner obviously is still in the driver's seat when it comes to possibly playing in the CIAA championship game. And the loser is I'm not going to say out, but there's still a lot of football left to be played, right? But, you know, you look at Virginia Union, who is still in the driver's seat also in the CIAA. But the loser of this game falls back. Like Shaw losing to Winston-Salem State put Shaw back on last week. So interested to see how that game plays out. Look, you've got Tennessee State at Howard. I think that's an interesting football game. And one of the questions I'm going to broach here on the program: who has the better homecoming, right? Is it North Carolina A&T, which is known as the greatest homecoming on earth? As a matter of fact, the Aggies also a homecoming this week, this Saturday in Greensboro against Hampton, right? Or is it Howard hosting homecoming against Tennessee State? I'm going to put that out there for every I want to get your thoughts. Who has the better homecoming? And then not only that, because when you're known as the greatest homecoming on earth, that's a pretty good moniker. And it would suggest that you perhaps have the greatest homecoming on earth. Now, I mentioned Jackson State. I mentioned Southern in terms of support. The support is already there. Probably feels like, you know, sort of a homecoming vibe, if you will, on a regular game day. In a way, in terms of, especially when you talk about the stadium being filled up and the amount of people that are at games, it may feel sort of like a vibe that way in of itself on a regular game day. But I wonder, how great is your homecoming? I'd like to ask that question also. So the two questions today, and I want you to hit me up via Twitter at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, or on Facebook, BOX2ROW. It's a twofold question. Who has the better homecoming between North Carolina A&T and Howard? And does your university, or have you been to a homecoming? Doesn't necessarily have to be your university. Have you been to a university that has a great homecoming? Now, I can tell you from experience, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, both North Carolina A&T and Howard have exceptional homecomings. Okay, I'm going to state that off the bat. They're different, but they're different. The reason that both of these homecomings are exceptional is for different reasons. And I'm going to break that down a little bit later on in the program as well. But hit me up. Who has the better homecoming between North Carolina A&T and Howard? And do you think that a homecoming you've been to or perhaps the homecoming at your school? Okay, because I haven't been to a whole lot of homecoming. I've been to Florida A&M's homecoming, right? Like Florida A&M's got a really, really good homecoming. It's a lot of people out there at Bragg Memorial Stadium in Tallahassee. You know, obviously A&T, Howard, Morgan State. As a Morgan State alum, I've been to quite a few Morgan State University homecoming games as well. But I ask that question of you, so I want you to hit me up and let you know. Better homecoming between Howard and North Carolina A&T, and how does your homecoming stack up, or homecoming you went to? How great is it? And it'd be nice to know in particular if you think it's better than an A&T or a Howard homecoming. Joining us today here on Box to Row also is Eddie George, the head football coach at Tennessee State, also played 9 seasons in the National Football League, and he'll join us in the next segment.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
James Colsey, the head football coach of Florida A&M. What are you learning about yourself 5 games into the season as the head football coach of Florida A&M?
I'm the head coach of Florida State Mary's University, Division I school in Canada. I wore a lot of hats. You know, I was defensive coordinator, I was defensive back coach. I had to worry about the corners, I had to worry about housing, I had to worry about all of those things. Now as the head coach here at Florida A&M, allowing my coach to coach, allowing my coordinators to be coordinators, you know, and everybody in our support staff, just allowing them the opportunity to excel in exactly what I hired them for.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
row.
To Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Face any race, the racism.
My ink is black, the page is white. Together we learn how to read and write.
Still to come here on Box to Row, Tennessee State. Head football coach and former NFL player Eddie George. Let's take a look at the HBCU National Players of the Week. Langston quarterback Terrence Bardell, 465 yards passing, four touchdowns, and no interception in the Lions' victory. And Arkansas Pine Bluff wide receiver Javonte Gibson had nine receptions for 183 yards and a touchdown in Pine Bluff's victory over Prairie View A&M. To learn more about these young men, log on to our website, boxtorow.com. So congratulations goes out to Trenton Boykin, the head football coach at Hampton. We had him on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he had the interim tag removed officially on Wednesday. I caught up with him earlier in the week to get his thoughts on having that interim tag removed.
Oh, man, it's a blessing, you know, and I would have to say, one, you know, that the President Williams and A.D. Henderson have seen the work that our players are putting in, you know, our coaches are putting in. And so for them to say, okay, we're going to evaluate you till December 31st and then kind of make a decision, but then being able to say, okay, we've got to see him through OTAs. We got to see him through summer camp. We've got to see him through the first six weeks of the season, that they saw something in our program, in our players, in our staff that they felt like, you know what, this is the right time. So, you know, hats off to our coaches. Hats off to our players. You know, again, when this happened, you know, there were some guys that were going in the portal, some guys that were going into the portal, and you really didn't know. And guys came back, they bought into, you know, what we wanted to do as a staff. And so when you see this happen, when it does, it's a blessing. You know, first of all, I think, again, to our players and coaches of buying in and helping move this thing to the vision that I would like to see it go. And then to be able to have the AD and the president see what we were doing over these last, you know, 4 months and see that, man, they've made enough progress that we want to take this tag off. I think that's a major blessing.
Those words, of course, from Trenton Boykin, who had the interim tag removed as the head football coach at Hampton. And you'd heard him talk about the faith that the administration had in him already at this point in the season. Big game on Saturday for the Pirates, as the Pirates will be in Greensboro to take on North Carolina A&T at North Carolina A&T's homecoming. And it's an opportunity for the Pirates to get their first CAA victory of the season. On a sad note, Virginia State Athletics Director Peggy Davis passed away earlier this week, and it was actually announced on Wednesday by Virginia State. She passed away, and this is very sad, not only for Virginia State, but for the CIAA, but even beyond that, for college athletics. You know, I had a chance to know Peggy Davis a little bit during my time actually working in athletic administration at Shaw. She was the athletics director, as I mentioned, at Virginia State, where she had been at Virginia State a total of 27 years, I think, as the AD, maybe like 20 or something like that. Prior to that, she was the head women's basketball coach at Virginia State. And there was a time when Shaw University hosted the regional tournament, or the NCAA Division II regional tournament, for a couple of years. And she was actually the chair of, at that time, the South Atlantic region and of that tournament. And that's how I got a chance to know her a little bit. And you talk about excellence as an administrator, excellence as a coach. And she was just really, I mean, she was just all that. And she's going to be deeply missed. Our thoughts and prayers are with her family. Very, very unexpected. The passing of Peggy Davis, the athletics director at Virginia State, on Wednesday. We're going to keep things moving here on the program. Say hello to a gentleman who is in his fourth season as the head football coach at Tennessee State. Played 9 seasons in the National Football League. Also, as a matter of fact, you look at this Tennessee State team, 5-2 on the season, 3-1 in the OVC Big South Conference, and really, really getting it done. Number 3 in the HBCU coaches poll, number 4 in the HBCU media poll. Eddie George is our guest here on the program. What's going on, Coach George?
Man, just trying to put a game plan together this weekend to take care of Howard at Howard. You know, that's about it, man. Just enjoying this amazing weather this time of year. And just trying to finish off the season in a strong note, man.
Absolutely. Be up in Washington, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I mean, look, you're off to this 5-2 season and 3-1 in your conference, playing some good football. Your thoughts on the way the Tigers are playing so far this season?
I think we're playing some good ball. We're finding ways to win games, you know, some gritty games. And like the last few weeks have been some absolute wars for us. Last week was a conference pro that got us last year for homecoming. And, you know, we came out with a chip on our shoulder. We wanted to show and prove that, hey, we can, you know, play a full 4 quarters of a clean game and did a decent job of that. And we're trying to peak at the right time. And you know, I think it's all 3 phases are starting to complement each other. And the guys are really bought into it. So we're just trying to take that momentum on the road in a hostile environment. There's going to be a ton of energy and continue to build that momentum for the second or the final quarter of our season. So that's when it counts. That's when, you know, championships and champions are defined in November. And that's the challenge that we set out to take on early in the year. And we find ourselves in the midst of that. And, you know, we're welcoming the challenge right now.
I wonder if there was some carryover from last season, your first winning season at Tennessee State, that has carried over now into this season, again, off to the 5-2 start.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can look at, I think it's familiarity with a lot of the guys that have been here for 3-4 years. I think they've really bought in the standard. Now they're raising the standard. They're living the standard and the culture. I think culture is just something that's so important. Most people just overlook it and say, you know, talent wins games, but talent without discipline, talent without focus, talent without the right attitude, the intentionality, the trust in the process, and helping each other, you know, iron sharpens iron. Without that culture, it's tough to go in a lot of these tight ball games and finding ways to win. If you don't trust the guy next to you, if you don't know who he is, you know, when is it critical 4th and 1, and you can't trust him to get his job or yourself, then you're just a bunch of individuals out there trying to, you know, win games. But, you know, we're really focused on building a strong foundation, a program here at Tennessee State the last few years. And, you know, we did carry over some great things. We were last year. We were 6-5 ball club, you know, not quite disciplined enough, not quite talented enough in some areas that we had to improve on. So that's where we are right now. You know, we don't focus on the result of a championship. We focus on championship habits, and that's day in, day out. That's constantly teaching. That's constantly showing compassion, constantly being patient. You know, it's not moving as fast as I, you know, we all would like. Of course, you want that instant gratification, but the beauty is in the process of watching it develop, watching it marinate, watching it come together. And, you know, we're doing it right now. We're finding some success with our approach.
And that's why it's important, I think, for people to really understand, alums, fans, people outside of football that it takes time. Everybody wants instant gratification, but it takes time to build a program.
Right. It's, you know, we all want that microwave instant pop. You know, you want to heat it up right now in 2 minutes. But your greatest meals are done over time. It's a process. You know, the best meals that I've ever had, you know, it took 8 hours, sometimes 2 days to go through the seasoning, the brining, the slow cook, you know, so you can really enjoy every piece of that meal. And that's kind of where we are now at Tennessee State. And I, you know, I'm not trying to be like anybody else. All I know is my way in terms of how I was raised in the sport, how I was coached, how I played the game, and who I aspire to be as a head coach. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. I'm always seeking answers. I'm always seeking ways to get better. But the one thing that I try to provide is an environment that guys can grow, our coaches can grow, they can be themselves, they can bring forth ideas. And, you know, we're really focused on being positive and having an optimistic environment as best that we can. Now, we are not perfect by any means. You know, we don't have all the answers, but we strive for that each and every day we walk into this building.
I think it's interesting, the analogy. Did you just smoke a pork butt or something? You said 2 days. Were you on the smoker, Coach George?
I gave you this is a part of my process when I brine my turkeys. You know, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So, you know, I'm thinking about brining my turkeys and injecting them with an injectable marinade that I make myself, the marinade. And, you know, that's a 72-hour process, you know. So, and it pays off in the end. So, you know, I always look for analogies in terms of building a team and having a meal and so forth. So I'm always looking for great things like that.
No doubt about it. Hold the line for me 1 second. We're talking with Eddie George, former, of course, National Football League player and the head football coach at Tennessee State in his fourth season, as he joins us here on Box to Row. We're going to step aside and take a break. I want to come back and talk with Coach George about his team, about how the team is progressing, how he's progressing as the head football coach at Tennessee State, and about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Keep it locked. This is your weekly edition of the HBCU Blitz powered by Box to Row. I'm Donald Ware. First, I'm going to take you to Houston for a good one, a SWAC Western Division matchup between Texas Southern and Southern. We're going to pick things up late in the fourth quarter. Texas Southern leading 17-12. Southern with possession deep in its own end.
Biden back to pass. Under pressure. Fumbles the ball. Is that going to cover forward pass? Safety. The Tigers add 2 points.
And just like that, the Tigers would extend their lead to 19-12. Looked like the game may be over. But the Jaguars said, hold on a second. And with 18 seconds remaining,
Bolden back to pass. He's going to Quay Davis in the end zone. Touchdown.
The extra point was good. And just like that, we were headed to overtime, tied at 19 apiece. The TSU Tigers couldn't get it done on their first possession in overtime, giving the Jaguars an opportunity for a field goal attempt to win the game.
Ball snap, ball down, kick is up, kick is good, game over. Tigers lose 22-19.
That was Devin Wade and my man, the Chatterbox, on the TSU Sports Network. The Jaguars remain undefeated in conference play, a big showdown on Saturday, hosting Alcorn State, who's also undefeated in conference play. Speaking of Alcorn, I'm now going to take you to Grambling, Louisiana, for the matchup between the Braves and the Tigers. Let's pick things up with about 9.5 remaining in the second quarter. Alcorn already leading 7-6 and looking for more.
Faye gets the snap, drops back. He's going to throw it deep, and that's going to have a receiver wide open. Blows the coverage, 10-5, touchdown.
Xavier Vaughn to Stamarion Edwards for 73 yards, and the Braves extended their lead to 14-6. Now let's move to late in the third quarter. Grambling still trailing 14-6, but driving.
Shotgun formation, doubles near side. Talbert will get the ball. Do anybody want to tackle him?
It's Talbert.
And he is dragging a man into the end zone. Touchdown, Grambling State University.
From 3 yards, and the Tigers pulled to within 14-12. With about 11 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, the Tigers would get a 44-yard field goal from Reed Herodine and take the lead at 15-14. That was the understudy, O.J. Morris, on the Grambling Sports Network. Now, we're going to move to very late in the fourth quarter. The Tigers still trailing 15-14 and looking to attempt a field goal.
Snapback ball out, kick is up, and the kick is good. Kiedis field goal with 7 seconds left, and the Braves with the lead 17-15.
My man Charles Edmond on WPRL. The 27-yard field goal proved to be the game winner as the Braves defeated the Tigers 17-15. For the Tigers, their second straight loss, and for the Braves, their third straight victory. To Fairfield, Alabama, for an SIAC showdown for first place between the Miles Golden Bears and the Albany State Golden Rams. We're going to pick things up in the fourth quarter with the Golden Rams trailing 26-14 with about 10 minutes remaining and possession.
Knowles, the redshirt sophomore at quarterback, and he'll hand off Weitz. Weitz gets through there, and he's going to run in the end zone. 5 touchdown Rams, 22-yard run, Teon Weitz.
And the Golden Rams on the road pulled to within 26-21. Let's move further into the fourth quarter. The Rams still trailing 26-22. Miles with possession and looking to close it out.
Running play again. Rams fighting, and did he get in? And they say touchdown. Touchdown, Miles. They get the TD with 2:39 to go in the ball game and make it a 32-21 lead.
After all these years, by now you know him. My main man, Freddie Fresh Suttles, on the Albany State Sports Network. The Miles Golden Bears now in sole possession of first place in the SIAC. Box to Row, the radio show, airs weekly on radio stations across the country. To listen to the show or for more information, visit BoxToRow.com. We're back here on Box to Row, talking with Eddie George in his fourth season as the head football coach at Tennessee State. Joins us here on the program, of course, played 9 seasons in the National Football League. Offensively, look, Draylen Ellis, I mean, you talk about the numbers, and I want to ask you how he's playing, but if I look at the numbers, good passing numbers, close to 60% of his passes completed, 13 touchdowns to 4 interceptions on the season. Your thoughts on the way he's performed so far?
Draylen is really having a great year for us. Like you said, the fourth interceptions. Last year, he's right at, since he's been here, he's been right at 50%. And I have to give a lot of credit to our offensive coordinator, Travis Partridge, who came in from UT Martin. He took this challenge on, really wanted the job, really believed in Draylen as a quarterback. Not that the last coordinator didn't, but Travis played the position, and he is taking what Draylen does well and magnifying that, putting him in positions to allow him to be successful. And this was a process. Again, you know, the offense was very hit or miss in the beginning of the season. We were striving to be more consistent week in and week out, and that's what we're finding. And Draylen has put in the work. Going back to last spring, this was his first full spring that he's been here. So we had a chance to get the repetition, the confidence, the buy-in, the chemistry with the rest of the offense. Comes in early and stays late. Really had grown up as a true leader on this football team. And you know, we had conversations in the offseason of what I felt like he needed to do to reach that level. He's talented, but he has to be committed and truly buy in to the system. And we're seeing that. And where he's not a finished product, he's not perfect, We still got some work to do. We still got things to work on, but he's starting to see the fruits of his labor come to fruition because of the work that he's put in and the trust that he's put into his teammates, the process, and the art of preparation. You know, he's seeing the benefits behind that.
Because of the new offensive coordinator, I mean, you know, been following you for the 4 years, and especially early on, and as a former running back, I might add, that running game was heavy. You're averaging about 104 yards rushing per game. Has the philosophy changed in terms of putting emphasis on the run?
Well, that's always been that. Ever since I've come here, I've always talked about being able to run the football and stop the run. That's where we start. That's the ground zero foundational football that we're going to do. That's our identity. It didn't necessarily reflect it in the numbers, but what we're doing philosophically speaking, schematically speaking, is emphasizing, hey, you know, we're going to be a team that's going to run downhill and we're going to base everything else off that. Now, if the passing game is working, you know, we're going to throw the ball. We got to throw it 50 times a game to win. Hey, it's working. But I understand, you know, in the long term, in terms of identity, you know, we need to be able to establish the ground game and a powerful one, because I believe that opens up a lot of opportunities for your pass game. It helps the passing game, and we seek balance through that. You know, I don't necessarily believe in, you know, becoming the 1985 Oklahoma Sooners, you know, or that 1990 Colorado Buffalo team, that, you know, that power eye option team where all they threw a ball maybe four times a game. But I do believe in balance. We want to have elements of the RPO. We want to do some things out of different personnel groupings and just do it over and over again. You know, simplicity in our play calling in terms of the types of runs and play calls that we do have, but complex in the dress up and how we get to it. That's kind of the idea.
And then your thoughts on the way the defense has played so far?
The defense has played some good football. I mean, you know, I think top 10 in turnovers in the country in FCS. I think we're in the top 25 in tackles for loss, playing really good red zone defense. We had a lot of youth on that side of the football that had to grow up, some freshmen that are really contributing well to our defense. And there's some things that we still need to get better at. You know, we got to get better on third down. We got to get off the field. We're doing a decent job of putting teams in third and long situations, but we're not able to close the deal on third down. This is to stop their drives. But when it counts, you know, we've been really good in situational football, the end of half at the end of games and situations. We've been able to find ways to win with a good defense.
Eddie George, again in his fourth season as the head football coach at Tennessee State, also played 9 seasons in the National Football League, joins us here on the program. Your thoughts, the Howard Bison, you're going up to Washington, D.C. It's homecoming. There, your thoughts on some of the challenges the Bison present?
Well, one, you know, the environment's going to be electric. It's their homecoming. It's something that is world renowned. You have alumni, celebrities. They all migrate to D.C. for the Howard homecoming. Two, our fan base is excited about it. They've been wanting to travel to an HBCU like of this magnitude. So that's going to be incredible in terms of the environment. They presented a huge challenge for us. This team is well coached. They have some really good athletes on the offense and defensive line. They have a quarterback that can spin it and presents a problem in the run game in terms of a dual threat. I think the back is as good as we've seen all season long in terms of number two and number five, Edgerrin James' son. They provide a 1-2 punch that needs to be reckoned with. And defensively, they are aggressive. You know, they get after you. You know, you'll see a lot of blitzes, a lot of a commitment to stop the run. You know, they're going to press you on the outside, say, hey, beat it. They're very upfront and aggressive that way. And that's the way that they play. So it's going to be a great challenge for us on the road to see who we are and not be distracted, but to go in there with the mindset, hey, we want to try to go out and find a way to get the best way to get a victory out of this unit.
How are you growing now in your fourth season as the head coach there at Tennessee State?
Oh, man, that is such a loaded question, man. Every day I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm failing. You know, that's the beauty of it, is that I've failed more in this opportunity than I've succeeded, you know, in terms of dealing with people or dealing with game planning or handling players, dealing with coaches. I'm dealing with so many different personalities on a day-to-day basis, and different situations come across my desk away from the game. Getting to Saturdays, you know, getting the team to buy in, getting rest, you know, all those things, making sure that I'm living what I'm preaching is more important to me than anything else. Because I've seen and I've been around various coaches that talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. They don't live it. And that's not something that I aspire to be. You know, I'd rather be the example. I'd rather be the sermon than to talk it. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense. So I continue to grow. I believe I've grown to the point where my style is constantly being defined. I don't try to emulate a certain coach. Am I trying to be Coach Prime? Am I trying to be Nick Saban? I'm not trying to be Dabo Sweeney. I admire all those men. I lean on all of them, but I put my thumbprint on it because I bring something unique to the table based off of my own experience, you know? So that's something that I strive to be, is to be myself in the seat and to operate with integrity, with compassion, with discernment, and ultimately, you know, understanding the bigger mission is to develop men through the game of football. And if I do that, if I hold true to that, I'm going to get a sound product on the football field if I coach the person and not the player.
Last two thoughts. What do you remember most about your playing days in the National Football League, in particular right there in Nashville, and playing with Steve McNair?
Oh man, so long ago, you know, some people barely knew I played the game, you know, like it's crazy. It felt like ages ago, but just yesterday. I think about Steve and I think about our time together and building the Tennessee Titans with Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese and Jeff Diamond and the late Bud Adams. You know, what we built here in Nashville was pretty special. And it was done with care, it was done with love, it was done with discipline and patience. You know, I often go back on those times when we didn't have much as an organization. In fact, our first training camp in Tennessee was here at Tennessee State, staying in these dorms, staying on this campus. So, you know, it comes full circle for me. I think about it often. I draw on those times of where I was as a player and try to see it now through the eyes of a head coach and try to make decisions based off of that, off my own experience when it comes to leadership or getting ready for a big game or coming off of a loss, how do we handle certain situations, how do we respond? And that's what I think about.
And then lastly, you were a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Unfortunately didn't get in. I wonder if mm-hmm. is that disappointing? Do you look at it that way?
I'm being talked about still, you know, the door's not closed. At some point, if I'm worthy to get in, I'll get in. It's not something that drives me. I have nothing to do with it. My score is posted. I'm in the clubhouse now. Now it's up to the writers and voters and whoever that may be to decide if I'm worthy to get in the Hall of Fame. You know, I'm in various Hall of Fames, you know, from my high school, National High School Hall of Famer to College Hall of Famer. My jersey's been retired. You know, I'm a Heisman winner. I've accomplished a lot in my life. And really, honestly, you know, it'll be a huge honor to get a gold jacket. But it doesn't necessarily define me or define my career. it's a day, that day is meant to honor those that helped you get to the Hall of Fame and recognize them. And, you know, we'll see. God willing, it'll happen. I pray that if it doesn't happen, that he gives me the grace to not be bitter or upset or hurt by it, and fill my heart with something different, you know. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Eddie George, again in his fourth season as the head football coach at Tennessee State, played 9 seasons in the National Football League. The Tigers are on the road in Washington, D.C. against Howard on Saturday. Coach George, class act, really appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Tigers.
Anytime, brother. I appreciate you, man. I enjoy coming on with you, man. It's a pleasure. We got to do this more often.
Yes, sir. Definitely. The pleasure is all mine, Coach George. We'll be back.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs.
From the Game of the Week feature to interviews
to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered.
Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row?
BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
And BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Welcome back to Box to Row. In the last segment, had a chance to catch up with Eddie George, the head football coach at Tennessee State, former National Football League player. Played 9 years in the National Football League, on the cusp of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he was a finalist for the Pro Football Hall, or he was nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, didn't make it in to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he says, hey, I'm still relevant. They're still talking about me, is what he said. And so, as he also mentioned, it's out of his hands. Right. But that hopefully one day that Lord willing, he would be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it's not something that he thinks about a lot. It's not something that consumes him. And meanwhile, I mean, Tennessee State's 5-2. I mean, Tennessee State, the Tigers program, consuming him in his fourth season, maybe turning the corner, has a real opportunity for that Big South OVC championship. Right now sits in second place in the Big South OVC standings. If you missed any of that conversation with Eddie George, it will be posted to the BoxToRow.com website as well as the BoxToRow YouTube channel. So before I even get into the who's got the better homecoming between Howard and North Carolina A&T, I want to talk our listeners in Pittsburgh on WGBN. The Steelers right now sit at 4-2. Sunday night game against the Jets, who are reeling right now, maybe energized a little bit with Devontae Adams coming in. Maybe not. It's certainly the whole shakeup with the firing of Saleh and the switching of the offensive coordinator didn't do a whole lot for the Jets against the Bills, although it was a close game. But look, I mean, the Jets have played close games all season long, and we know that the defense isn't the issue. So, but to my Steelers fans, right? A possible change in quarterback from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. How do you feel about that? Like, you know, this is the way I look at it. I always thought, and what was becoming true, was that Russell Wilson, because remember, Russell Wilson was, he signed with the Steelers before Justin Fields did, because Justin Fields was traded for, and Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers before Justin Fields did. That aside, I always thought if you're looking at winning now, maybe if you're looking at the future, you know, certainly Russell Wilson's better years are behind him. Presumably, Justin Fields' better years are ahead of him. But I always thought that it was going to be Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback. Now, what hampered him was an injury, a calf injury. And that's one of those things, especially when you're his age, that you don't want to fool around with. You want to make sure it's fully healthy before you can go. And so now we've been hearing the last couple of weeks that Russell Wilson possibly is healthy. And now we're hearing that he could possibly start on Sunday. And I think you look at the 4-2 start. That's a good start. I think Fields has something to do with that. There's not much of a running game per se, other than Fields, when you're talking about running the football for the Steelers. And Fields has been somewhat efficient. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I remember, 5 touchdowns to 1 interception in his 6 starts. But look, I mean, again, those aren't great numbers. You know, in other words, Fields, and he even said it as much. If we're even having this conversation, then obviously I didn't do enough to say unequivocally that I'm the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. In other words, he left the door open, even though the Steelers are 4-2. Now, if the Steelers were 6-0, perhaps 5-1, I don't think we'd be having this conversation, because I think you would look at it more of a situation as, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. But they're 4-2, on the cusp of going either way. A win means you're 5-2. You want to take a stranglehold on that AFC North, which, look, the Ravens are playing some really, really good football right now. The Browns aren't. And the Bengals, not so much. But a loss means now, you know, the Ravens are right there. The Ravens may take the lead. You know, let's say the Bengals win. Now the Bengals may be back in it. I'm not really, you know, concerned myself with the Browns at this particular moment. So Fields has not set the world on fire. So he's left the door open for Wilson, who was already supposed to be the starting quarterback anyway, has a history in this league as a winner. Maybe his better years are behind him. Maybe in the more recent years, he wasn't as great. I think he did get a bit, he got a raw deal at the end in Denver. He put himself in that position in the first, you know, at the first season. And then, of course, new coach, comes in, and actually Denver's playing some pretty good football. I mean, Sean Payton and Denver's playing some pretty decent football right now. And he unceremoniously got kicked out, but part of that was, I think, because of his attitude, the way he approached things in his first season. But again, he's had some success in the league, Super Bowl champion. He hasn't won an MVP. I don't even think he's come close to winning an MVP, but he has been a really good quarterback over years in the National Football League. And so I think the Steelers maybe have, you know, a sense of, not necessarily a sense of loyalty, but look, that was their first guy. And that was the guy that Mike Tomlin felt like should have been the starting quarterback. You know, a lot of times the old adage is you don't lose your job to injury. and Wilson lost his job to injury, but things were going relatively well for the Steelers, and so you kept him in there. They started out, you know, 3-0, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2. You lost a couple of games, and again, Justin Fields did not set the world on fire. I want to hear from Steelers fans also. What do you think? Do you think this is the right move to put Fields in, or to put Wilson in as the quarterback over Fields? Hit me up via Twitter or X at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Switching gears, homecoming. So, been to both homecomings, Howard and North Carolina A&T. I didn't get to really appreciate A&T's homecoming probably until about 2015, when after a game, got a chance, hung around. I mean, it is spectacular. And by the way, with what A&T has done in more recent years, when you come out of the stadium, there is a stage with performances going on. Like there, and there's some pretty decent name performers. I mean, I think, you know, years past, you've had like Busta Rhymes and Mr. Cheeks and some other people, more for an older, you know, and more of an older audience, go-go band, etc. Right? So, you know, that's pretty cool. In addition to, you know, the gospel concert, all of the, you know, the step shows and all of the concerts that come along with what is known as the greatest homecoming on earth. You know, the tailgating piece and the camaraderie piece with A&T is unbelievable. I mean, and think about this. You're talking about a 21,500 seat stadium, and the tickets for homecoming were sold out in less than 24 hours. I'm sure all of the tailgate spots are gone as well. And remember, A&T does something and has been for some time doing something different, separating tailgate and also getting into the stadium. So there's a dual opportunities right there. I look at Howard's homecoming. I come from to Howard's homecoming from a couple of different perspectives. One, as a native Washingtonian, so it was a big deal. Not as big a deal now, I think, but it was pretty big deal. You'd go and hang out. I was a student at Morgan. You'd still go and hang out during Howard's homecoming on Georgia Avenue and all of those kind of things. Didn't really care about the football game in of itself. But then once I started getting into the broadcast realm and in athletic administration, you look at it a little bit differently. And there's that camaraderie also there. The difference is, I think one of the differences is, you know, Howard, the stadium isn't that big. But the one thing about Howard that I think the advantage that Howard has over A&T, I think A&T's advantage is, you know, that tailgate and the football game in of itself. The advantage I think Howard has is the celebrity piece. Like, it's Howard University, it's Washington, D.C. You have all of these celebrities, not only outside celebrities, right, but also you have celebrities that went to Howard that partake in this as well. Now, the tailgating piece isn't as great, I don't think, and I've seen it. It's not as big. You know, A&T situation is massive, and, you know, it's Howard's situation, because it's in D.C., is a blimp on the radar, right? For Greensboro, it means everything. You know, A&T's homecoming means, I mean, you talk about an economic impact. I mean, one time it was like $10 to $12 million, but that was years ago. I don't know what it is now. It's probably astronomical now for a week's event. And really, you know, things crank up as the days go on. So you're probably more so talking about Friday, Saturday, more so, and then maybe a little bit of Sunday, but more so Friday, Saturday, maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that's how I look at each homecoming. It's, I don't want to say which one is better, because as I mentioned, I think A&T has some better elements than Howard. Howard has some better elements than A&T. I want to take this offline and get your thoughts. Who has the better homecoming, Howard or North Carolina A&T or somebody else? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow. I'll be checking these offline and respond. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Eddie George, the head football coach at Tennessee State, for joining us today here on BoxToRow. For more information on the program, visit our website, BoxToRow.com. And always remember to support those that support you. BoxToRow is produced by DW Communications.
So lay your hands on yourself and say this, it's my will.